We're jumping right in. I'm recording right now. This is DH Radio on CJMQ 88.9 FM. My name is Sheila Q. Now, you guys, after 2.5 years of DH Radio, have figured out that when something piques my interest, I must go and find out more about it and become very enthusiastic. When I saw the cover of Goodnight Keith Moon, there were several things that happened, and most of them involved me feeling completely awestruck. One, I think I have gone through at least 3 or 4 copies of the board book of Goodnight Moon, the very well-known children's book, just because my small people really love it and insisted on having it read so much that covers, even board books, can break and come in pieces and whatnot. The other thing is, being a huge music fan and ridiculously so of The Who's drummer Keith Moon and his notorious life and times and death and so on, it was just the perfect blend. It was just the perfect blend. That's it, of great stuff to activate my imagination. On the phone with me now is Bruce Warden, responsible for this amazing work. And I just need to know more, okay? There's so much that... now, I was telling you off the air, as I began researching you, you're in several interesting and cool spots on the web, including Amazon.com, which is kind of neat. And I want to know... Tell me about your inspiration as an artist, because I take it there is a bit of a cool, twisted mind at work there. And I want to know how Goodnight Keith Moon and other works that you're responsible for have come to be.
You know, I'm pretty sure that my entire sense of humor came straight from Weird Al, you know, as I was... an early teenager. I think it all seriously stems back to that. There isn't really anything I do that I take too seriously.
I have to point this out. This is the second reference to Weird Al's influence that I have heard today.
Oh, well, he's brilliant.
He is brilliant. And the other reference was that a friend of mine, I had made a reference to how he learned about the song "I Touch Myself" by Divinyls because of Weird Al.
You know, I still to this day there are songs that I've only heard his version that I know that there are real songs out there, but I've literally never heard them.
Now you're
only the Weird Al version.
One of the things I'm realizing about your work as I began going through this is there's a real word nerd in that brain of yours.
A word nerd?
Yeah, you just really seem to be very, very, just created a homophones Facebook group.
Yeah, I do have a blog about homophones.
Okay, now I'm rabbit trailing, as I said I would. But okay, now... Let's go back to...
No, I think I am a bit of a word nerd. I like wordplay. I like the way words can mean different things and to different people, and putting them together in different ways and just seeing what you come up with. I guess I kind of do that a lot with everything. I try to put different parts of my life together and see where they end up. Because I guess kind of like you with the Goodnight Keith Moon thing, it just stemmed from listening to a lot of Who music and having to read Goodnight Moon a million times to my kids, you know, and you just sort of, you're sleep deprived and you cram that stuff together in your brain and it all comes out, you know, like a smoothie somewhere down the road.
This book is a smoothie and I like right. that. You know what, I find that sometimes I'm like, every once in a while you kind of stumble upon something when like having that appreciation for words and wordplay where you're like, oh, I wish that I had thought of that. Like, and that was kind of one of the reactions, especially seeing the, like, it's right down to the artwork of that's inspired by the original Goodnight Moon that goes along with Goodnight Keith Moon. So tell me about how that particular work of yours came to be.
The Goodnight Keith Moon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that really was the beginning of it. I had probably been listening to The Who at work that day and, you know, went home that night and was reading the book to my kid, and it just sort of struck me while I was reading it that Goodnight Moon was almost like a little goodbye to Keith Moon. It was a nice way, sort of a fun way to say, maybe not fun, a fun way to say goodbye to Keith Moon, you know, like, because he died. And it just sort of struck me and stuck in my head, and the next day I came into work and was mentioned it to somebody at lunch, and everybody sort of just was like, well, that's great, whatever, you know. But there was one lady that I work with, Claire Cross, who really picked up on it, and we sort of bounced ideas back and forth and realized that we could actually write it if we wanted to, so we just went ahead and did it. And so she's the co-author, I'm the co-author, and then I did all the illustrations for it. And, you know, I mean, it's sort of a template of a project, right? I mean, we took Goodnight Moon and just sort of rewrote it. I guess, again, very Weird Al-esque. We just sort of filled in the blanks.
Weird Al gave our whole generation and generations to come permission to do this.
I think so.
And not, because that's part of the reason why I had to ask, like, how did this end up becoming a thing? Because you can have the thought and the great wordplay, and you can mention it, or you can, you know, make it your Facebook status or something like that. And everybody's like, ha ha ha, goodnight, Keith Moon. You know, yes, that is the perfect blend. And then, but to actually go through with putting it together and publishing it.
Well, you know, I realized as I've been growing up that you can't just sit and talk about stuff. You got to do it, you know? So we came up with the idea and realized that we could probably write it pretty quickly. And I looked at the illustrations and realized I could probably draw it fairly quickly. And it seemed doable. So you get off your butt and you do it, you know?
Striking when the iron's hot, like that, when that, because it's almost like that project is alive just a little bit more than if you put it on a shelf, you know, like,
yeah,
when things, I don't know, synapses and the right combination of stuff to bring it together and bring it home.
Yeah.
So you have a
new... Yeah, I mean, sorry. I've definitely got, you know, projects that sit around and they wait for that moment, you know, to show up. And then, when the iron's hot, you go for it.
It's the illumination stage. Now, you have a new work that's out too, Timothy Toad.
sort of, yeah. I actually changed his name. And it's not in print yet, but it is on my, if you go to my website, that's sketchsketchsketch.com, there's links to a lot of my different projects in different stages. And this one, it's now called Tolliver Toad.
Oh yes, Tolliver Toad was the, Timothy yeah. Toad is the original, yeah.
That's right. It started out as Timothy Toad, but I never really was keen on that. But so the last thing I did, like after all the illustrations were done and the whole thing was written and I was ready to put it up online, was let's figure out a better name. So it's now Tolliver Toad, and it's a villanelle. It's a, like a 19th century poem form, this very repetitive sort of spirally poem form that's really, really great. And I wrote a poem about a toad trying to cross a road. And it was kind of grim and felt very Edward Gorey-esque to me. So
I love that.
So I took a little inspiration from him and went ahead and did the illustrations for that. And I've got that up there on Sketch, Sketch, Sketch. It's not currently yet available as a book. We need to find someone willing to publish it.
it's the great... I think that's part of how all of this completely came to be. I heard about Goodnight Keith Moon a little while ago, and then it just so happened that our mutual friend Jan Steele had posted this, the link to Tolliver Toad, and Edward Gorey, I was a kid that was afraid of everything. Like, I was a real scaredy cat. I would get scared of commercials for horror movies. You know, I didn't have to see the horror movie. The commercial would give me nightmares for like ever. I was really afraid of the dark. But there was something in all of that that I really, really, really adored too. And it took me until like about grade 7. And here in our high school, we were, our high school is 5 years. It's grade 7 through 11 when we graduate. And it was grade 7. It started a little earlier than that. Like, I decided I really liked the show V. And that worried my mother. And then, you know, then in time, it was reading Stephen King's Thinner when I was 12, you know, and so there's, and then I realized, hey, actually, as much as I am sort of afraid of this stuff, I really quite love this sort of dark humor. And it was Edward Gorey's cartoon at the beginning of Mystery on PBS.
Oh yeah.
That was, that first opened me up to who he was and what his artwork was when I was quite young. And then seeing the Gashly Karum Tiny's poster about all of these children dying.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't think, how could that be humorous? And yet
dying in rhyme. It's an alphabet.
In the alphabet,
too, right?
Exactly.
That's a great story.
So what else are you working on, or what's rolling around that cool brain of yours, Bruce Warden?
Cool brain. Yeah, I've got another project up there on my website that we've been looking for a publisher for a while now. It's called What About Me? It's a little more geeky, I guess, than just sort of silly or dark or whatever. It's about animal taxonomy. I'm actually a scientific illustrator. My day job is I do scientific illustrations for a biomedical journal.
Yeah.
So I've got a bit of a sort of a scientist side to me as well as an artist side to me. So this one's sort of combines those into a children's book about, you know, trying to classify groups of animals and how there's always exceptions to the rules, you know. Mammals always give live birth, you know, except the platypus doesn't, it lays eggs. So for every rule, you know, that we humans try to, like, place on the animal kingdom, there's always some weirdo animal out there that'll be like, well, what about me? I don't really fit that description. So it's just kind of a silly... it's not really a story. I guess you'd call it nonfiction, I guess, but it's about animal classification. And I think that would make a very excellent children's book. We're also shopping that one around at the moment. So far, Goodnight Keith Moon is the only thing I've actually managed to get in print, but I've got lots of stuff up there. I'm working on one that's the retelling of the Three Little Pigs. That's done as sort of like a hippie, like, cooperative sort of story, which, you know, I think it'd be kind of interesting too.
Well, I mean, it all could have ended so differently, if, you know, really.
Well, they don't cooperate with the wolf, but they have to. They cooperate together to overcome the wolf. I feel like the original Three Pigs was sort of a stubbornness story, wasn't it? I mean, why do you read that to your kids? It's a story about, like, I'm going to do it my way. Well, my house of sticks is going to be better than your, you know, and it's ridiculous. And it's only the one thrifty, you know, all-American pig with the brick house that, you know, succeeds in the end. But I really thought it should be more of a cooperation story. So,
well, yeah, instead of like, listen to each other and maybe do a little reflection. I'm looking at What About Me right now, actually, on your that you can see it on Picasa, and it's, this really definitely should be made into a book. I think so many kids are fascinated by nature and anything that makes them ask questions like this, where there are some, like, it's kind of nice once in a while to have questions where you can say, actually, there is no answer for this thing here.
Right.
Here you go. This is something that is different. And, you know, we don't really know exactly why, but these guys all go together and this one's different, you know, like, this is,
it's exactly.
Brilliantly cool. Yeah. And the illustrations are amazing.
So those are just sketches. I mean, in the end, they would all be full color. The last couple pages there, I think, have some color samples of what they would look like. So online, I think everyone seems to look at those and say, oh, that's really nice looking, and then think that that's the way it would be in the end. But it would actually be full color, bright, colorful. There's like 350 different animals in the story, you know. It would be I think it'd be great. It'd be great.
How do you pronounce, is it spiracles or spiracles?
I think it's spiracles.
Okay, that's how I wanted to say it first, but so I have to read this now, just to give listeners an idea for how some of this works, and I think this is my favorite page, and part of what will make us as parents to read it and just realize I don't know, it's like this kind of level of curiosity and fascination and great, interesting things that are sort of like useless knowledge, but so cool. Like that. Now, insects don't breathe, though that sounds like a miracle. Air enters their body through little bitty, teeny tiny, microscopic holes called spiracles. Like that is, and with the illustrations to go with it, you know, like that is just, this is a project that just has to happen and I want a copy like now. Wow. Okay. So let's send people to check your stuff out, Bruce. Where should people go if they want to learn more about Bruce Warden? Warden, by the way.
That's right. I think sketchsketchsketch.com is sort of my central hub there. I've got, you know, a Facebook page and a YouTube page, and those projects are up on Picasa and stuff, but you can get to all of it through sketchsketchsketch.com.
That is amazing. This
Thanks.
Is great. Okay.
You're amazing.
Yay! Are you ready for the final four?
Oh, probably not. Let's do it anyway.
Nobody is ever ready for the final four. Not even me. I can't even answer my own questions most of the time. So, but I keep asking just in case. All right, Bruce Warden, what is your greatest strength?
My greatest strength are my thighs.
Yay! Can you leap tall buildings?
I do a lot of
single...
biking.
Oh, nice. What is your greatest weakness?
My greatest weakness by far is chocolate.
Oh, what kind of chocolate, like, specifically?
I don't eat bad chocolate. I like the good stuff.
Okay.
There's a brand out there, El Rey. They make some amazing chocolates. And they are my weakness.
And what would you say? It's funny that your thighs are your strength. Your dead chocolate is your weakness. I like it. What would you say? There you go. The next question is, what is your favorite candy? So
I combined them, yeah.
I guess that'll just answer that. unless you're like, no, chocolate is a category unto itself and candy is something else.
No, I think it's still candy, right?
Yeah,
I do think that humans were built to eat chocolate. There's something intrinsically, like, spiritual about chocolate and people. But it is its own category, but I think it's my favorite candy, for sure.
I think so, too. I think, you know, it's just because we don't have a tooth made for it doesn't mean that we're not meant, you know, like, doesn't mean that we're not meant to, just be completely satisfied and brought to a higher level of existence by it.
I like the idea of a tooth made to eat chocolate.
It's a sweet tooth. Oh, my God. But it's specifically the chocolate tooth. All right. Now, we come to the final of the final four. What would you like to be remembered for?
Oh, probably, if not, I mean, it's got to be, you know, my son, right? I want him to grow up well and to be remembered through him.
Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't hurt to have some of these books get made too.
Yeah. That is a perfect answer. Become a legend through the generations and publish.
Yeah, well, let's work on it.
I love it. That is so great. Look, I am a huge fan, and if there's anything I can do to help out, I'm just on it. It's just great.
Well,
Bruce Warden.
Thank you so much.
Amazing.